Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to this Election Day edition of the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, and I'm just going to tell you, Jason, Tross, Hannah Farrah, and I, we are all ready. Ready. We've been doing the show before the show even started. Man, it's a great day to be alive. Let me just say this before I get going too much. Man, isn't it good to be a member of the family of God? Isn't it good to be in the middle of what God wants to do in the earth? I'm telling you, I often view the Lord's bride in this moment as receiving a baton from those who have gone before us in the faith, and with them encouraging us to say, now you guys run your leg with the grace that God has given you for you to run your leg. I know what things look like all over the world, and I don't know everything in all the world. Let me say this. Let me run that back a little bit. I know things look bleak in the world, but I'm telling you that the Spirit of God just grants so much peace in the midst of all of this craziness. Well, thank you for tuning in to the program. Today I have a lot to say, a lot of things to get to. I'll just start out by saying, you could believe those prognosticators if you want, but I have a sneaky suspicion that's not really a suspicion that we're going to see a lot of people singing sad songs tonight and tomorrow morning, kind of like they were in 2016. I'm just going to tell you. But here we go. As most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, And I said this to a friend of mine when we were talking today. These elections are critically important. But can I tell you, what happens in the White House is not more important than what happens in your house? If you really want to see the tides turning in our country, can I challenge you and encourage you to see the tides turn in our families? I'm telling you, politics is not the root, it's the fruit. It's not the root, it's the fruit. If the Lord could grab a hold of us in our families, you would see the tide in our politics turn. And my prayer is that this would be another step in the direction to where the light of the life of Jesus Christ would penetrate and permeate every single family. As I often say, darkness is not an affirmative force. It is not an affirmative force. It merely reoccupies the space that is vacated by the light. It gives the perception that it is an all-encompassing, all-consuming force, but it's nothing more than an advertising job. All that is needed, and I don't mean to say this in terms of it being easily accomplished, but I do mean to communicate it in terms of it being a simple resolution. It's simple, not easy, but it nevertheless is simple. All that is necessary for the darkness to be vanquished is for the light to be turned on. We know this intuitively. I say this all the time. Not one of us enters our home and says, hey, honey, would you turn the darkness off? No, we don't say that because we know darkness is passive. We say, man, turn the lights on. How do we remedy this darkness problem that we have going on? Turn the lights on. Man, let's light it up. Acts chapter 17. This is where we're going to start today. You can probably tell I'm on one today. Can't you tell, Hannah? Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 27 is what I'm going to talk about here. This is the Apostle Paul as he fled the Thessalonican. Jews in Thessalonica were trying to kill him, try to kill Jason. Kind of similar, huh? They bust shots at me, Jason. They bust shots at you. Try to kill Jason, who was hosting Paul and Timothy and Silas on their ministerial team. And then they went down to Berea, and the Berean Jews were not like those Jews in Thessalonica because they heard what Paul was preaching, but they pulled out their scrolls. Let's see. Let me see whether or not what this dude is saying is true. And Paul said, I like that. But if you're from New Orleans, say, I like that. Yeah, boy. I like that. Yeah. Don't worry about where it came from. I'm not going to spend the whole show talking like that. And so then Paul took a pit stop in Athens while he was waiting for Silas and Timothy. And in the course of waiting there, he saw in Athens, wait a minute, this place is overrun by idolatry. And he goes first to the marketplace, and then he also goes to the synagogue. And then the people in the marketplace heard Paul's teaching. They said, man, we must bring this guy to the Areopagus or to Mars Hill, where they, as the Bible tells us, they wanted to always hear the latest philosophy. Because you see, in Athens, just as in America, you know, one of the popular sports is American football. Most people, well, a lot of people today are choosing college football over NFL football. But do I need to say it again? My Saints are rolling, but that's a whole other story as well. But one of the erudite practices of the time was to come together in the Areopagus to hear some of the latest teaching. And so they brought Paul there, and this is what Paul had to say, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Oh, glory to God. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man, or the King James says, one blood, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Man, there's so much I could say here, but let me say this. This is one of the main sources of biblical text that equips the believer beyond any other person in the world with the biblical authority to reject the idea of racism. Now, why am I saying that? The Bible tells us that there is no such thing as multiple races of human beings. Recently, science has finally caught up to what the Lord told us 2,000 years ago. And further than that, if you take it all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, that there's no such thing as multiple races of human beings. It's one race. They're called human. And if you're not a human, guess what? You're not a human. So why is it that we have Christians still so eager to have conversations about racism? I think, and this is one of the things that I get some pushback on, well, Abraham, who are you to say what words are made available for conversations? Well, I say, who is the world? The world tried to hijack the term gay. I remember growing up in an all-boy high school, we sang a song about being happy and gay all the day. Gay means happiness. But you sure don't have a problem with letting them take that word. I think if I have biblical support and scientific support for my verbiage, I think you probably need to make a change. So excuse me if I don't talk about racism, but I discuss it in terms of ethnocentric partiality, because the Bible describes this as partiality. And in fact, the term partiality is far more encompassing because it includes within it the biblical condemnation for favoring someone because they are wealthy or disfavoring someone because they're wealthy. You don't seem to have a problem with those who would advocate for sexual practices that not only destroy the body, but they violate God's creative order using the rainbow to support their agenda. When the Bible tells us that the rainbow was an exhibition of the Lord's covenant with mankind to never judge, to never destroy the entire earth again by water. But also a reminder that though he will never judge it and destroy it again by water, there's a time when this very earth will be refined with fire. Mm-hmm. So it's a combined demonstration, an expression of the Lord's covenant with mankind, but it also is predictive. But you don't seem to have a problem with them jacking our rainbow. Well, I'm with Ken Ham. Give it back. It's the Lord's bow. Let me keep going. Man, I'm telling y'all, I am on one today. Let me keep going to really get to what I'm talking about. I mean, the Lord tells us, man, from one blood, he created all mankind. The multiple beautiful iterations of the Imago Dei as reflected in the various quantitative dissemination of melanin content are all exhibitions of the Lord's character as a wonderful artist. That's why he doesn't just give us flowers. He gives us daffodils and lilies, or like my wife's flowers at our wedding, calla lilies and sunflowers and roses and all of these beautiful iterations of the same thing, flowers, but with different colors. Because he's an artist. He even says that those of us who become members of the family of God, that we are display of the Lord's workmanship made to be put on display. Oh, glory to God. Then the Lord tells us, not only did he make all mankind from one blood, then he tells us that he had given mankind allotted periods. Oh, this is a thought that moves me, brothers and sisters. When you think about the fact that the Lord has determined aforetime within his divine foreknowledge and his divine sovereignty that you and I will be alive in the 21st century. We are not just casual occurrences that happen to arrive in 21st century America. The Lord divinely and sovereignly planted us here like chess pieces on a chessboard that says, okay, I'm working my checkmate. I'll move the pawns earlier in the game, but when we get down to it, let's move some knights and rooks and bishops. Oh, Lord. Brothers and sisters, you and I were made for this moment. Today is a day that was ordained for you and me to shine the light of the Lord's glory. So when we wake up, let's not just wake up. Let's wake up with the realization that the morning that we meet has been handpicked for you and I to meet. Glory to God. Let me keep going. And then he tells us the boundaries of our habitation, the boundaries of our dwelling place. Can I tell you that is more than just the establishment of the geographical boundary lines around your nation? It also includes his divine foreknowledge concerning the governmental structure that would man the nation that you would populate. Can you smell what the rock is cooking? What I'm telling you, the fact that we live in a constitutional republic with democratic features is also not a product of just casual occurrence. But the Lord not only handpicked us for this time, he not only handpicked us to be in this particular land and concerning the United States of America, but he also handpicked us to be a part of a governmental system that requires the consent of the governed to rule. Can I say it more simply? Us having the right to vote in this day and this time is not mere casual occurrence, but this is a part of the context that God established our time of life and our geographical boundaries, because he tells us why. Ha ha ha. You don't have to take Abe's word for it. Look to the word of God. The King James, verse 27. So that, or in my Bible, the ESV, that they should seek God. You see, the Lord put us here, family. The Lord put us here right now, so that we can do everything within our power in the land where he placed us during the time that he has placed us in, so that men should seek God. So all of you who have not yet voted, and for those of you who have voted, the Lord's desire for the kingdom citizen. Oh, I love that. Because I tell people, you realize I'm a dual citizen. Though I'm walking this earth, I live in heavenly places. My natural temporal sovereign nation is America. But can I tell you, my superseding eternal sovereign nation is called the New Jerusalem. And so when we discharge this vote, family of God, this is an opportunity to take full advantage of the time that God has placed us in and the boundaries of the nation that God has allowed us to abide in, for the express purposes that men should seek God. So we as members of the family of God are required to discharge our civic responsibilities with the eye toward making sure that it results, making sure that it contributes to, making sure that it allows men to seek God. And then the Bible tells us, and perhaps find him, though he's not far from any one of us. To say it in a very simple terms, the thing that motivates, that invigorates my civic engagement is that the gospel is illuminated as a result of protecting the home of the free and the land of the brave.
Today is the day. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Voting is an honor and a privilege that we get to exercise today. Noah Webster is the founding father whose textbook instructed five generations of Americans. He encouraged us to vote for people of principle. He said, "God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. The preservation of government," he said, "depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good so much as for selfish or local purposes. To revive American exceptionalism and restore the American dream, we must all make our voices heard on Election Day. I encourage you to pray for wisdom and then vote. And learn more about defending biblical values at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
On American Family Radio, this is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Sharing your faith is a team sport. In fact, one of the biggest misconceptions about faith sharing is that it will always end with a person praying to accept Christ. I've been sharing my faith every day for 40 years, and if I believed that, I wouldn't have gotten beyond day one. Almost no one accepts Christ in one conversation. More often than not, there's been seed sown and watered, a process, and you are a part of that process, a privileged part. You know what? Sometimes you get to be the one to carry the person across the finish line. But in the meantime, Scripture reminds you that the Lord has assigned to each a task, some to seed and some to water. And get this, God will give the increase. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone, every day, closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Today's election will have huge consequences for the future of America. Conservatives have the opportunity to maintain control of Congress and use their political power to advance President Trump's agenda, which includes respect for the sanctity of life, religious liberty, lower taxes, less regulation, a strong military, and secure borders. The Democratic agenda is fueled by a mindless hatred of President Trump and a knee-jerk resistance to everything he is for. Besides sheer hatred for the president, the left's political agenda involves open borders, amnesty, gun control, and budget-busting government-run health care. If Democrats take control of either house in Congress, they will spend the next 2 years throttling everything the president seeks to do through obstruction, investigations, and articles of impeachment. It is imperative that America's voters choose wisely. Let's pray that they do.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the live and in living color Hamilton Corner. You can listen to us on all across the entirety of the American Family Radio Network. You can look at, you can catch it at live streaming on AFR.net, audio streaming, live audio streaming on UrbanFamilyTalk.com. You can watch it live on the Hamilton Corner's Facebook page. You can also watch it live on the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel. However you're listening, thank you for doing so. And also those who listen via podcasts. Hundreds of thousands of people are getting the podcast. It's amazing how it happens. But to just kind of put a pin or put a button on the point I was making before, that for the believer, civic engagement in the United States of America is part and parcel to our requirement to be salt and light. When the Lord gave us his commission at the end of Matthew chapter 28, and it's recorded in Mark chapter 16, the Lord also understood that there will be a context within which every believer would be required to fulfill that great commission. And for those of us who had the blessed privilege of living in the United States of America, yes, I said it, in the United States of America, where we just learned we have record low. I'm talking about 49, 50-year record low unemployment. We have more jobs available than people that don't have them. You hear what I'm talking about? My wife and I were talking about a trip, Lord willing, we may be taking soon here to India, where do you realize in India, most places, they don't have indoor plumbing. They don't have toilets. They have squat box. See, people don't understand that. People don't realize these things. And this is not to say that we are inherently superior to the Indians. But surely you understand that there's a difference in the resources available in America than in other countries. It's ridiculous to assert otherwise. We're in a nation to where we just witnessed for the first time in a decade, it's happening right now, to where wages increased 3.1%, the first time in a decade. Y'all want to tell me President Trump ain't making a difference? Sell that boo-boo to fool somewhere else, because I knows better. I'm just telling you, I know better. But what I'm saying is that the civic engagement, the purpose for the believer, I say it this way, I engage politically in an effort to ensure that the door for the gospel remains open in my generation. Why is that? Because I know there's a difference. When you tell me in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election that you have a candidate of She Who Shall Remain Nameless on the Hamilton Corner to say that if you have a well-held set of beliefs that do not comport with public policy, hear what I'm saying? If you believe something that Hillary Clinton, oh, I wasn't supposed to say her name, too late, sorry, She Who Will Now Remain Nameless on the program, would tell me if I have a belief system that doesn't comport with her political agenda, that I have to change my beliefs. What? When you have people in a continuous drumbeat effort who would attempt to minimize my freedom to exercise my religion wherever, however, and whenever I see fit in these United States of America, but who would repeatedly tell me what we have in America is a freedom of worship, I can read. I know what the First Amendment says. It doesn't say freedom of worship. They would want to contract that to being nothing more than a private enterprise. And if you think I'm making this up, just ask Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips says, the reason why I do this with these cakes is because God has blessed me. Because he has blessed me with the gift and the facilities, I want to honor him in that. So because of my effort to honor him, I decline the invitations to use the gifting, talents, and abilities and resources he's graced me with to mar his name. Well, they have a whole lot of people in Colorado and other places around the country that would tell you Jack Phillips should not be allowed to do that. You can think it's a game if you want. I'm going to say it biblically. There is an enemy who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I tell you that the former President Obama's administration sought to completely confuse all young people by opening up the bathrooms, by issuing a transgender mandate for every bathroom for schools, public schools, and the country, do you think those folks have gone away? No. I even shared with you on the program how the powers that be within the Democrat Party told their candidates, don't let the people know what you really think about immigration. Clara Caskill, her campaign staffers caught, don't let the Missourians know what you really believe about gun control, about immigration, about, well, we know you agree with President Obama on almost every issue, but the electorate doesn't need to know that. Andrew Gillum staffer, the people don't need to know that old fairy tales started with once upon a time. Modern day fairy tales begin with once I'm elected. The people don't need to know that. Folks, I'm just telling you. It's clear as day for those who want to see. For those who do not want to see, they can claim, and this is not new because Peter told us about this in 2 Peter, willful ignorance. For they are willfully ignorant. That means they are deliberately ignoring information that is available to them. The believer engages politically because we recognize that it is part and parcel to executing the Great Commission. When I was young, I learned the song, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Y'all know the rest. Civic engagement is a part of letting that light shine. By having the liberty to convey the gospel, the United States of America has sent missionaries all around the world. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. That means every generation has to do its part. We are standing at the precipice of the nation considering whether or not we will persist in the freedom that we have inherited from our forebears, or if we are going to make a radical shift in the direction toward socialism, a radical shift in the direction toward secular humanism, a radical shift. Notice I said a radical shift. I'm keenly aware that there have been forces moving in this direction all along, but never have we had such a clear distinction. For example, we had people campaigning as out and out socialists. Never before, happening now. That's what's happening. And listen, this station airs all across the country. In some places, let me say it this way. Everybody, no matter where you are in the country, you still have time to get to vote. Most polling places, they open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., which means that if you're in line at 7 p.m., no matter how long the line may be, if you're in line at 7 p.m., you must be allowed to cast your vote. So I want to encourage you, as you're making your way to these places, that you do so having the keen awareness that this is part and parcel for the believer, part and parcel of our salt and light duty. Now, having said that, man, I didn't plan on going on that long with that. A couple things that just amazing things have been happening. many of you are aware President Trump had his last rally of this season. I mean, you're talking about Energizer Bunny. This man is 71 years old, doing 3 rallies in a day, all across the country, Ohio, Missouri, traveling all over the country. Never has this ever been done. There are a lot of people who undersold the rallies and their impact in the presidential election in 2016. And now the president has kept up that same momentum, and where he ended his rallies in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, which is the hometown of Rush Limbaugh. He invited Rush Limbaugh on, who kind of opened for him, which was an amazing feat. But in the course of the rally, a highly energized rally in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, there was a woman who needed medical attention. And so President Trump stops the rally for an entire about 8 minutes. And 8 minutes, of course, doesn't seem like a very long time. But when you consider the context of this rally, well, the president literally just stops his speech. He begins by saying, is there a doctor in the house? A man identifies himself as a doctor. President Trump says, please help her. Please help her. The doctor makes his way through the crowd to begin to attend to the woman. The silence continues. One of the crowd members yells out, let's pray for her. President Trump says, yes, let's pray for her. Let's say a prayer for her in the rally. Y'all can go find this yourself. Then, out of nowhere, spontaneously, the crowd breaks out into Amazing Grace. And I want you to hear a little bit of that for yourself. Please, Jason, play clip number 4. Now, I have to tell you, when I heard about that, well, let me say, I read it first. I read about it before I actually was able to watch it, because I didn't catch it live. I caught up on it this morning. When I saw that and heard that with my own ears, it stopped me dead in my tracks, and it gave me goosebumps to listen to. Because it brought to mind, for me, that there's a difference between an organic move of people that is not the product of orchestration or manufacture or paid protests. These are the types of things that are happening in this moment that we're in, all in their own. You see, man. President Barack Obama, when he was president in 2008, in the run-up to 2008, he had huge crowds of people that would go to his rallies and things of that nature. But can I tell you that after he became president, by the time 2010 came around, the Tea Party movement arose, President Obama could not draw a crowd. And so there were many people who witnessed the President Trump phenomenon with the rallies in these huge crowds. But unlike any other president in our history, frankly, the crowds have continued into his presidency. And there are, and I have some audio to show this, there are efforts to try to dehumanize President Trump, to, you know, treat him like he's just, he's an ogre from Shrek who likes onions, you know, and to try to act like the man has no heart or he's not a human being and things of that nature. Some commentary later on where he says something he regrets from his first term is his tone. But look at the contrast. Do you remember, and I believe it's 2012 at the Democrat National Convention, where they booed God not once, twice. Booed God twice. Twice. Pit that up against this rally, to where spontaneously the crowd breaks out in Amazing Grace. Listen, y'all know I'm an equal opportunity truth teller. I am not personally a Republican, but for anybody to say there is not a difference between the parties, that's just not true. That's just not true. And if anybody would suggest that there is not a difference in the direction presented by both parties in this midterm election, that's just, you cannot say that and maintain any modicum of credibility, because it's just factually not true. All on its own, the people break out into Amazing Grace. And the cheers at the end, and this is the other thing, the cheers at the end weren't for the president. In the video, if you watch it, the cheers at the end were for the woman who had received the medical attention and for the doctor. For the doctor. I alluded to this yesterday with people trying to, in my opinion, disingenuously label President Trump for declaring himself a nationalist. Folks, I have to tell you, I'm glad to hear an American president say, you know, my foremost concern is the American people. American people are what make America what it is. The American people, and the president said, pointing to the doctor, this is what makes America what she is. Having this doctor respond to aid this woman right in the moment, that is what makes America what she is. So that was an unbelievable moment for me. It may not be the same for other people, but I thought, isn't this amazing? Completely unorchestrated, completely on its own, started by people in the crowd. They follow up prayer for the woman with singing Amazing Grace. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a lot of sad songs tomorrow morning. Because the people, and we have to keep in mind, if you think, here's a perfect example, that a majority in the Senate doesn't make a difference. Do I need to remind you of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings? Do I need to remind you of what happened with Brett Kavanaugh? Folks, it couldn't be any more plain for those who are looking. If you don't see at this point, it's because you don't want to see. It's because you don't want to see. We'll open the phone lines. The next segment, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. We want to take calls, election-centered calls. We started yesterday. We had a lot of people who couldn't get through. Have you voted yet? How do you feel about these elections? If you have voted, if you're willing to, would you share with our audience how you voted and why you voted that way? These are the calls we want to take coming on the other side of the break. Hannah is ready, to take the calls, to get us set up, to get this going. The number again is 888-589-8840. 0. The Lord has established his bride for such a time as this. You don't want to miss your moment.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of 6, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Our concern about 13 Reasons Why has not diminished. If you've signed the AFA petition to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, then you've probably heard the story of Anna Bright, who killed herself after binge-watching the show. But did you know she wasn't the first, nor the last? Other young people have been influenced by this program and have taken their own lives. Netflix says they want to stimulate conversations about taboo topics like teen suicide, but they still refuse to have a conversation with the American Family Association about the dangers of their show. Please pray that God will change Mr. Hastings' mind so that he pulls 13 Reasons Why before another life is lost. Look for the AFA Action Alerts with information you can email and share on social media so that others can sign the petition too by visiting afa.net. Every vulnerable teen is another reason why.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. There's no doubt the midterm elections have set a new low for rhetoric and rancor. Remember Maxine Waters telling her supporters to absolutely harass conservatives? But Saturday Night Live redefined gutter politics by mocking Dan Crenshaw, a Navy SEAL gravely wounded in combat.
You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. Whatever.
What comedian Pete Davidson did is unforgivable, but the laughter from the audience, I don't even have words. The idea that Mr. Crenshaw sacrificed his eyesight for this nation and the thanks he got was to be ridiculed by a bunch of millennial ingrates on national television. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. As promised, we will get to the phone lines this segment. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. You want to get a flavor for what's going on in our country? I have to share this. So in the state of Michigan, John James, who is a combat veteran, a man who then, upon leaving the military, goes home, takes over his family's business, takes it from a small business, grows it, just happens to be a Bible-believing, constitutional conservative who, oh, I saved the best for last, who is a Christian, who is running against the incumbent 43-year politician, Debbie Stabenow, who has been the Democrat senator in Michigan, the United States senator, since 2001. Started out, he was way behind. Now, all of a sudden, he's catching up. Well, a reporter from a Michigan publication called the Huron Daily Tribune called John James's campaign office in an effort to set up a post-election interview. She wanted to interview him on Wednesday. But John James was unavailable at the moment, so she left a voice message. Some of you already know what I'm saying, where I'm going with this. And she thought she hung up the phone after leaving her professional voice message. Then she started to say what she really thought about John James, candidate for U.S. Senate, who, oh, by the way, happens to be a man who's blessed with melanin like myself. This glorious permanent tan. I just say that to let you know. Because all the time, regressives appear to present themselves as if they're not the ones with ethnocentric partiality. Skin color-based partiality. But it turns out, they often are. Well, unbeknownst to Brenda Battle, and that's her name, Senate candidate John James's recorder kept recording. And look what she had to say about Mr. James. Please play clip number one.
Hi, my name is Brenda.
Pause. Let me say this. There's going to be a few seconds of dead space because, oh, okay, that's not there. And then you're going to hear some bleeps because Ms. Battle used some words I would never allow my children to even read, let alone hear. So, all right, play clip number one, please.
Hi, my name is Brenda Battle. I am a reporter with the Huron Daily Tribune in Bad Axe, Michigan. Looking to set up an appointment with Mr. James for sometime on Wednesday for a phone interview regarding the election results. I'm probably going to send an email over to the info@johnjamesforsenate.com with some details. If you'd like to call me back, my number is 989. Thank you.
Man, if he beats her, Jesus. John James. Whew. That would suck. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Whoa! She used the Lord's name in vain. But wait, I thought the journalists are supposed to be hallowed beacons of impartiality. Right. She didn't know the tape caught her. Now listen, weren't we talking earlier this week from Luke chapter 12? Nothing is hidden that won't be revealed. She let us know exactly what she felt. If she beats, is he going to beat her? Boop, John James. Folks, this is what these people really think. Now, I'll let you decide for yourself if this Miss Brenda Battle is alone in her perceptions, or is that probably how much of the talkie snake media thinks about these people? Yeah. Yeah, she got caught. We'll go to the phone lines. There's so much more I want to say. But blanking John James. That's amazing. Well, let me let you in on this. To the publication's credit, the Huron Daily issued a statement from Ms. Kate Hessling, who is the editor-in-chief at the publication, and she says, quote, I have listened to the voicemail left by Brenda Battle to Mr. James's campaign and find no reason to defend this behavior. Brenda Battle's employment has been immediately terminated. The Huron Daily Tribune sincerely apologizes to Mr. James and to the public. These statements do not represent the views of the Tribune as a whole, nor do they reflect the actions of a responsible journalist. Tory Sachs, John James's campaign manager, told the Daily Caller, who was the first entity to report this story. She said, quote, anything to keep the status quo and career politicians in power. The liberal media can't stand the idea of a job creator and a combat veteran coming to Washington to shake up the system. This happened as we closed in within the margin of error. Mm-hmm. So, just letting you know what's going on. To the phone lines we go, and let me let you in on this. If you want, I won't say if you want. The American Family Radio Network is having our own midterm election coverage. That coverage will begin at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. It will be hosted by the AFA President, Tim Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations, Walker Wildman, also the director for One News Now, Fred Jackson, as well as AFA's Executive Vice President, Ed Vitagliano, will be right here on the American Family Radio Network, so you definitely want to tune in. You can also live stream it at afr.net, at afr.net. Hamilton.net notes. So to the phone lines we go now. We'll start in Tennessee, where there's a big race in Tennessee, where Marsha Blackburn is running against Phil Bredesen to fill the U.S. Senate seat vacated by, I won't even say this dude's name. He's out of the way. So let's just talk about Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen. Thank you very much, Everett, for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abe. I've been sitting in the corner since you first came over from Urban Family.
Hey, well, Everett, thank you for doing that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was talking to Anna, man, and I just want to touch on a couple of things real quick.
Go right ahead.
Number one, you know, like you said, Marsha Blackburn, Bill Lee, all of those Republican candidates, we supporting them here.
All right.
One of the main ones that we're interested in relieving ourselves of is the representative,
mm-hmm.
the one that wants to issue out the Purple Heart. I'm a veteran, and I find that very insulting.
Mm, that's profound.
Steve Cohen, that's his name.
Yes.
Steve Cohen, he wanted to issue out a Purple Heart. I think that was to Peter Strzok. We found that very offensive.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, man, myself, my history, I don't mind saying I'm an ex-abuser of substance.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, when I was watching that rally at in Cape Girardeau last night,
mm-hmm.
and you talking about you got chills, man, Amazing Grace, man, it brought me to tears because I am that wretch undone. He saved a wretch like me.
Mm.
And I just wanted to tell you that I just don't believe God brought us just for to leave us.
Amen.
That's my comment.
Everett, thank you for that call. Thank you for that comment. And you know, that's the amazing thing. That's why so many people resonate with it, because we know we are all that rich. We are all that rich. And unlike some people, I might not have done everything you have done particularly, but I was no less lost than anybody else. And so, Everett, thank you so much for calling to share your testimony. And that is what I believe that the talking snake media has the inability to recognize. That the people in America see that something is happening and that this cannot be explained in mere natural terms. Again, going back to 2016, who among them thought President Trump had a chance? Not very many. But look where we are. Thank you so much for your call and your comments, Everett. And thank you so much for staying in the Hamilton Corner for all of this time. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Tris is on the line. Tris, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Abraham, how are you? I'm just on my way to vote. I'm very excited. Thank you and AFR for giving us the real stories about all the candidates, both sides. And I always go to YouTube to watch the videos and see and hear for myself what you've said. I do
yes.
the trust but verify.
Yes.
And so I feel very confident going to the polls. And then I wanted to say one more thing. It's a little late probably for this election, but there's one thing I learned on AFR that I did not know. I feel so ignorant. I'm so thankful for this, for what you tell us and show us the true history of our own country. I've learned, and I don't know if you've had this on your program particularly. I haven't heard it, but we talk about the Democrats now. They're turning all towards socialism, the new face of democracy. And, we, of course, we hold up the countries like Venezuela, Russia, the countries that have used socialism or communism and failed. But what I learned and was ignorant of was even in America,
yes.
in our early colonies, William Bradford,
Colonel
one of the
William
first
Bradford.
Governors.
That's right,
yes.
Colonel William Bradford. That is right, fresh off of... The boats moving this way, the early pilgrims tried socialism. They divvied up the land and said, no matter who has what, we're all going to put it together in one big pot. And when we put it all together, then we'll be sustained by that. And they almost starved to death. And then they made an adjustment.
Yeah.
They say, you know what? We'll divide land, and whatever you till on your own land and produce, that is what your family will consume. And they resulted in that having a bountiful harvest. The socialist experiment was tried on our own soil first, and it failed miserably.
Yes, and so I'm so glad someone told me that, and if every chance you get on your program, don't forget to mention that one, because that was us. That was us.
Thank you very much, Trish, for your call and your comments. You're absolutely right. I'm going to try to get some more callers in here. The socialist experiment, it was tried here, and it failed miserably. Great call, Trish. We'll go next to Oklahoma, where Eddie is on the line. Eddie, thank you very much for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. Hamilton, I just wanted to say thank you for everything you do. I love your show. I just wanted to say to everybody out there, this is your God-given right. He gave us freedom. I'm in the military, and we lose people daily to fight for this country. Mm. We need to fight for our country. You know, Venezuela, people are starving. It was one of the richest countries in the 70s. These people are begging, and they're a socialist now. We got to think about, we got to open our eyes. We need to think about what this country's coming to.
Mm. Well said, Eddie. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. You know, and one of the most sad testaments that could ever occur is when people who they reach a certain age and they think, well, you know, if it all falls, it's not going to affect me. But listen, if you have children or grandchildren, please consider them as you go to the polls. Please consider them. If you lived your life and you've enjoyed America that had peace and prosperity for the most part, what type of America will you bequeath to your children? What type of America? Back to the phone lines we go. We'll stay in Oklahoma and we'll go to Michael now. Michael, thank you very much for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Abraham. I appreciate everything you do. I enjoy your show very, very much.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate your kind words, sir. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm voting Republican because I am afraid of socialism coming. You can see it. It's the end times. And these, you know, they're pushing that agenda. And, you know, when I hear people putting down President Trump, it reminds me of you know, God has always used rough characters. For instance, Moses, he was rough on the edges, mm-hmm. but he did mighty good works. And I think President Trump is trying his best.
Mm. Thank you very much, Michael, for your call and your comments. I certainly do appreciate what you said, and you said it very well. I'll often say it this way, that God is in the business of using crooked sticks to paint straight lines. And that is an undeniable scriptural fact. I'm going to go now to trying to get to another call here. Let's go now to my home state of Louisiana, where Phyllis is on the line. Phyllis, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Abraham. I love your show. I just wanted to say that I know that fear is the absence of faith, mm-hmm. and I do have faith in God tremendously, and I know that he has put Trump in the White House to do his work for him. However, there is so much evil manifested in the Democratic Party, and they have shown that they will not stop at anything to undo the 2016 2016 election. They haven't even gotten over that loss yet.
True.
So I'm afraid we wake up tomorrow morning and there's all these close races, elections where they're going to start doing lawsuits, and I'm afraid of chaos. What? That they're not going to accept a loss.
Let me hop in there, Phyllis, because listen, here's the thing. Duty is ours, results are the Lord's. The wonderful thing about being Christ followers is that though we engage civically, we have a king who's not subject to term limits or to veto-proof majorities. So the thing is, the confidence should not be placed in the electoral results. The confidence should be placed in the God who commissions us to engage. But I'm going to try to get one more in. To Arkansas, Nina is on the line. Nina, I'm sorry, you only have 15 seconds. Go.
Okay, I just want to say it's so important to vote. I'm a first-generation American. My parents escaped from communist, Stalin communist, and lived in refugee camps in Hitler's Germany. So the right to vote is so important.
Nina, you nailed it right on the head. Go vote, everybody. Today is the day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.